By George, the dream is alive.
By George and Giant Killer present the Ryan and Dom cast with your hosts, Ryan Salick and Dominic Allegra.
The ball gets away. We are headed to... Oh, no! Sean Boyd!
Welcome back
to the Ryan and Dom cast. Winter's here, Dom. Winter is here.
Winter is already here.
It's
here. Winter is not coming, but winter is already here.
It's here, and it's cold.
It's pretty cold. There's been a little bit of snow, and nothing has stuck.
Nothing's stuck.
However...
I don't even count it. That's not the first
snow.
It's not the first snow until it sticks.
That's true. I agree with that sentiment. But it has been really cold.
I had to break out my winter box. Like, I had all my winter stuff packed away in a winter box, and I had to break it out.
What you got...
What do I mean,
you got like...
I got a...
Thick ass...
I have one...
Puffer vests?
No, I have no puffer vests. I have actually a fairly thin coat.
That's it?
And, yeah, I even thought I had like a winter
just
cap.
Just like a parka?
No, I got nothing. I thought I had a winter cap and gloves, but I didn't, so I have to go get one of those.
You just brought a jacket?
Yeah.
That's your winter box?
Yeah, I had a... yeah, basically. There were a couple cardigans in there, but that's not going to keep me too
long. No,
clean.
Not really.
I think I also found my old banana costume in there as well.
You could wear that around campus.
Stuffed it around.
It's like a normal commonplace now, as we talked about.
Yeah, you're right. Apparently, there's just tons of bananas roaming around.
Banana nanas roaming
around campus.
So you brought winter clothes, but did not bring any hats nor gloves.
Nope. Well, hear me out.
Is that what, like, Nebraska winter is like?
No.
Do they have winter in Nebraska?
Yeah, they have tons of winter in Nebraska. It's worse in Nebraska.
Then why did you not bring a hat or glove?
I just forgot, okay, Dom? Lay off.
Oh, I see.
Whatever. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's get to it. Got to catch up on 3 men's basketball games.
That's true.
And 2
women's basketball games.
We weren't able to record last week. This week, we're bringing you with a triple header.
That's right.
And then looking ahead to this JMU game.
That's right. And Cayman Island Classic. We might talk about that, too. And Maryland and... yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Let's dive right in.
We're not going to talk about your song of the week first?
Let's do that in between men's and women's.
Okay, I agree with that. Okay, let's get this started then. So men's, we first had the Navy game. The home opener, the student section really showed up.
No. I'd be wary about using that language.
What?
The student section came...
They showed up.
But
does not mean they participated.
Did they participate
in anything?
No, not at all. Did they stand up once at like the minute and a half mark for the last minute and a half of the game? No, I shouldn't even say that. It was in overtime, the last minute and a half.
That's right.
Overtime. Wasn't even regulation.
No.
Nor any of the free throws. And you know what? I saw some of the G-Force guys.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising this JMU game in the JC today, and I just wanted to be like, are you guys going to even, like, what's the point of even advertising the game if you guys don't
do anything? Just be there. And
it just doesn't make sense to me, Dominic.
It's not like a true student section,
because
you could fill it with anyone else.
You could fill it with you could just bring in retirement homes.
Yeah.
Just bring in retirement homes.
And they'd do the same thing.
They would do. I'd say they'd do more. Because there are some crazy old dudes that will do just about anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I took up a little pamphlet from the guy, and I was like, yeah, I'll be at the game.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, you do get free tube socks.
Tube socks?
I'm pretty sure. White tube socks are the giveaway.
Do they have anything on them?
I'm sure they have something on them, Dom, but I didn't get a good look. I'm sure it's a GMU insignia.
Ah.
Something like that. But anyway, back to the Navy game.
So yes.
Derail talking about the student section.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me your highlights. What are your highlights from this game?
But so, like, AJ and Xavier Johnson, now known as XJ, they both really showed up. They both had 15 points. XJ had really great takes to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to take things to the basket is absolutely insane. He does not look like a freshman to me.
One thing that I found throughout these 3 games that I've struggled with a little bit is that we've had a hard time getting to the line. I think in the LIU game, I don't know the exact number, but we did not shoot more than 5 free throws, I don't think.
I don't think we've had more than 10 attempts in one game this season.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I'm going to call him Big X. I like Big X.
Big X. If you'll read my article in the Fourth Estate about him on Monday... I call him the amazing Professor X.
The amazing Professor... That's a mouthful.
Well, I just call... I shorten it to Professor X.
Professor X. Interesting.
But I needed a good headline, so...
We'll come up with all these nicknames, and one's gonna stick.
Yeah, one's gonna stick eventually.
One's gonna stick.
He's got 3 more years.
He's got 3 more years. Basically 4 years.
Basically. I mean,
he's got a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing that impressed me the most is his ability to draw fouls. To drive to the basket and draw fouls.
Oh, yeah.
Which no one else on the team seems to be doing right now.
His ability to take things up after he's launched and move the ball into a spot where he can just basically put it up for a layup is something that I've only really seen Otis do during the time I'm here. And no one else.
And finish.
Yeah.
He's had a couple and one opportunities.
Yes, that's right.
I'm sure more than anybody else on the team.
Dave Paulson told me that XJ may not be actually starting, and he may not be starting games this season, but he is definitely finishing.
That's okay. I'm totally fine with XJ not starting because, you know, those bench points are just as important. And
exactly.
Yeah. I love it. I love him.
He's great. He's going to become a wonderful player for us. I can't wait to see the next, basically, 4 years of him. If this is him in his... third game of his freshman year? I can't wait to see what it's going to be his senior night.
Now, what I want to be wary about is that we don't want to put too much pressure on him too soon.
I think
I'm scared that it's going to... You say that, but he's only 18. The kid's 18. Or he might be 19. I don't know. But he's a freshman. And putting too much pressure on him too early, I can break him. Nebraska's had a...
Have you seen his muscles?
Like he's huge. That's why I'm calling him Big X.
I don't think
you
can break anything.
That's why I'm calling him Big X. His shoulders. His shoulders are enormous, Dom.
His biceps are thicker than my thighs.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. You got some pretty thick thighs, Dom.
I'm pretty sure his... They're huge, man.
They're big.
Like, I can't believe the size of his biceps when I first saw him. Mm. But, yeah, he's going to be a great player. But... AJ also basically took control. He's basically taken control of these last 3 games.
What's up with AJ and his 3-point shots?
I don't know, man. When you talk about that more, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Why does AJ... AJ started to shoot from behind the arc. I feel maybe a couple too many times. But it seems like he's got the green light to do that.
I don't know if Paulson's given him the green light, but I guess he's just, like, gotten more confident shooting. I've seen him. He's getting more comfortable shooting shots in the mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making those compared to last year. But, see, the time that AJ makes a 3-pointer will be the day that Iba goes crazy.
Yeah, in my humble, honest opinion, I think he should stay inside the paint.
Yeah.
He does some good work down there.
He is really incredible in the low post. And if he continues what he's doing right now on the defensive end as well, basically, he'll be great for us when it comes time for Brooklyn trying to match up to all those other 8-10 low post players.
Mm-hmm. How fun was it going into overtime in the first game of the season?
Stressful, man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you writers.
Yeah. So, if you don't know, overtime is like the bane of all of beat reporters' existence because it's just like another thing you got to talk about in your articles. And then it also just gives you more things that you need to put in and a lot less time to do it because you basically... The overtime period eats into the... The later the game goes, the less amount of people that are going to be up for it. And by the time your recap goes up, you want as many people reading it as possible. And by having overtime, it does not help that.
Of course.
But it was stressful. I did not want to go to overtime against Navy.
I didn't know how it would fare. We're pretty 50-50 when it comes to overtime.
In last year's home opener, we went to overtime against UPenn. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to happen again. We're going to lose in our first game of the season to Navy, of all teams. I mean, last year at least it was UPenn. They were actually kind of good. Navy, they're not great. But it would have been really bad if we did not come out of the game.
But we pulled it off. That is true.
We did pull it off. We struggled from the floor basically the entire game, and then kind of just exploded in the overtime session. You know, we went 4 from 7 from three, and Javon I think had at least 3 of those. And
it was crazy. We just needed to get the bugs out of our system, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know why the exhibition game didn't do that.
I have no idea either.
It was super challenging, but it was great to see some stuff come together because the first two halves were a little iffy.
Yeah.
And it was great to see some stuff come together in overtime. And I think one thing that's really impressed me about this team is it's expanded upon itself in the next 2-3 games.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really excited about this JMU game.
I agree. Now let's move on to the Longwood game. I was actually blasted on Twitter by one of the fans.
You're kidding.
By Longwood. I wrote an article on GK that basically I said in the article that...
Stop. What? There are Longwood fans?
Yeah, I was surprised, too.
I'm surprised.
We're talking about the college that you go on a tour, and you apply at the beginning of the tour, and you're accepted by the end of the tour.
Yeah.
And one of their fans was like, oh, let me say what I said first. So I said that, honestly, I didn't know that Longwood was a Division I school.
Mm-hmm. As most people probably don't.
Yeah, exactly. And he basically said, you know, we've been a D1 school since blah, blah, blah year, and we've faced all these players and teams, and I'm like, I honestly don't care.
Neat.
Exactly. And they played Marymount in their first game of the season, and the Marymount is a D3 school, and they count it as a non-conference win.
Wow. And very cool.
Very pathetic.
Very cool.
But, Longwood was our second of our current 5-game homestand to begin the season. And we played pretty well to start, if you would say. We started 15-1. So that's not a run. That was the actual score of the beginning of the first quarter.
Now, I have to admit, I wasn't at this game. I had to miss it. I had a concert going on. But
yeah.
So I'll let you do the blunt of the talking. I'll argue with you about whatever. I'm sure we disagree about something.
Yeah, obviously. But I asked Coach like what it's like just being up 15-1, and he said that, you know, you just gotta make sure you don't get out of it.
Is what happened.
Yeah, it did. So I think at the end of the half it was 33-22.
Yeah, we were up 11.
And then at the beginning of the second half, we basically just almost let them come back all the way. And I think we almost did.
Classic Mason fashion.
Yeah, it was tied for a little bit. And then Javon just kept us in the game, basically draining threes every time that they drained a three. So they kept us in. Javon kept us in the game. That 2-0 start allowed us to go 2-0 for the first time since 2013, 2014.
That's awesome.
Which is basically, it's just great.
In the Dave Paulson era.
Was that? No, that's Paul Hewitt.
Right, no, I mean, first time going 2-0
correct, in the Dave Paulson era.
So what happened to, what did we start doing that gave Longwood a lead back? Or not a lead, but brought them back into the game?
We just, I guess, our transition defense has not been great all year. It was brutally destroyed in LIU when it comes to points. Mm-hmm. So we just gave up way too many open threes in Longwood in the second half, and the transition points really killed us. But since 2013-2014, that's when they went 4-0, and we've gone 4-0 a couple times during our program history, but we've never gone 5-0. So, you know, not saying that that's a possibility, but if we win against James Madison, I think we have a good chance of beating Loyola.
Knock on wood, but
yeah, that's right.
It'd be awesome. And not just 5-0, but 5-0 on a 5-0 on a 5-game
homestand.
That's right. Yes.
Now, let's talk about LIU. Many people call it LIU Brooklyn, but it's no longer LIU, LIU Brooklyn.
LIU.
I think it's more appropriate for JMU.
JMU. The Dukies.
Yeah, exactly. The Dukes. So, LIU, Miller led the team with 25 points. That was a career high.
I think he had 13 or 14 at halftime.
I want to say so.
Yeah. An insane game for
him. He's played really well in that game. He's now probably considered a three-point threat, which is just insane to me. He had the low post and the mid-range shot now, and if, now apparently
he worked on it. If he can do it all, I'll let him do it all.
He apparently worked on it all summer. And
Miller we trust, baby. And Miller we trust.
It's Miller time, baby.
And then Big X had a great game of his own as well.
That's right. He had 13 points of his own.
Started off slow. I think he had 2 points in the first half.
I'm not sure about that, but that wouldn't surprise me. He did not play great to start, but he did finish well in the second half. And he really pulled in clutch moments. We had way too many unnecessary turnovers, though. There were many times when LIU was pressing that, especially at the end and at the beginning of the game,
mm-hmm.
where basically they had two defenders basically on Jamal or Green, and they stole the ball without
mm-hmm.
just...
From the inbound.
Yeah, from the inbound.
And not only that, but there was just sloppy passing all around on the offense, yeah. into the post. There yeah. was tons of sloppy passes into the mm-hmm. post.
Yeah.
With giving away that ball down there.
Yeah.
And that's... I mean, I don't know what to do about that. I'm assuming they don't practice passing all that much in practice.
Because
it doesn't show off if they do.
That's true, but I'm sure they do. It's not something I don't think they work hours on.
Yeah.
But
maybe they need to.
Maybe they do. like I said, they're poor transition defense. They got outscored 14-4 in the transition, and that really showed.
A couple times that we just get caught celebrating, especially after a dunk or something like that. After one of AJ's dunk, we got caught celebrating, and Paulson wasn't happy with our defense on the way back.
They'd really spread us out. They go court side to side and basically just pass it until they got the easy layup. They didn't really shoot any jumpers or three-pointers when they came back in transition defense. But now, basically moving forward to James Madison, this will be the 99th time that these two foes have actually played each other, which is really insane.
That is a lot of games against JMU.
Mason won the last one, 66-53 on December 7th last year.
A day that will live in infamy, as Dominic so eloquently coined Handshake Gate.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right, Handshake Gate. If you don't know about that, you should read my article on GK. That was from last year. I think the title is basically just Handshake Gate.
Well, there's a lot, and apparently we have a history of wild things going on. I was talking to Doc Nix, and he said about 5 or 6 years ago, there was Hot Dog Gate.
Oh, no.
And what had happened was, at JMU, were playing at JMU, somehow, and I don't know how, but, well, I do know how, one of the fans, one of JMU's fans, ends up throwing a hot dog onto the court at one of our players.
Uh-oh.
Obviously, a technical foul.
Yes.
George Mason gets to shoot the ball, and we end up winning the game.
Oh.
Not because of those free throws, but those helped, obviously. Yeah. And I can't imagine a hot dog flying onto the court at Eagle Bank.
No, you'd have to have, like,
some pretty rowdy fans.
Yeah, that's right.
For one.
Well, you know, they'd have to actually stand up.
You got them. Yeah. Hate to see it.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, my high school friend actually plays for them.
Oh.
Matt Lewis is his name. He's actually the kid that got the technical. I can't remember if he got a technical or he got ejected the last time. He's pretty good, but the problem is he's got a temper.
So is he a friend, or did you just go to high school with him?
I knew him. He knew of me.
Okay, that's something.
But like we didn't hang out.
Okay, you didn't sit back and play some FIFA on the weekends.
No, it was not like that.
That's probably fair. Okay, so score prediction for this game, Dom. What do you think?
I'm going to say we're going to get wings.
I think we're going to get wings too.
I'm going to say a nice 82 to... Ooh,
that's high!
75.
Ooh, that's a high-scoring game, though. Yeah. You think the offenses are going to go on full speed?
Yeah, I think so.
Who's our high scorer, then?
I'm going to say... I'm going to go with Hartwell.
Hartwell, your mom?
Yeah.
Mostly from behind the arc?
Yes, I want to say that.
How many easy threads? How...
What? What was that? What was that?
How many threes does he hit?
I'm going to say 4.
That's a good game. Yeah. I'm hoping if that happens, you know what? All of it's sliding.
Yeah.
I think the spread's going to... Not the spread. I think the point differential is going to be bigger than that. I think... But how I also much? Don't think we score that much. I think it's going to be 73... I think our defense is going to show up.
Okay.
I think our defense is going to show up. It's been lagging behind a little bit. I think we're finally going to get kicked in the gear on this transition defense, and I think it's going to be, what did I say, 73-59.
Okay.
I think it's going to be at least a 10-point game.
Okay.
And that might not show throughout the game, but by the end, with free throws and all that, I think 73-59 is final score. I think JMU keeps it pretty close, especially in the first half. And early on in the second half, mm-hmm. we pull away towards the end.
Okay.
And I don't know. I haven't seen anything too impressive from Jamal yet. Like,
I think this is going to be his breakout game.
I hope so, but I think Jordan's gonna score a lot. Or I think even AJ might have a good game. It's just my hunch.
Yeah.
But interesting. All right. You know what it's time for, Dom.
What's that?
Song of the week.
Oh, let's get that started.
Back to Ryan's song of the week. This week we got a throwback, a little Led Zeppelin for your listening pleasure, Black Dog by Led Zeppelin. If you don't know it, it's a banger. It's on their Stairway to Heaven album. I'm sure it gets passed up all the time because Stairway to Heaven's on there, and that's that's all anybody ever wants to listen to is Stairway to Heaven, including the Green Machine. Hear us play that every once in a while. But Black Dog, it's got the best lick in rock and roll history, I think.
Maybe you should arrange it.
I don't think Green Machine could get away with it. You know why?
Why is
it's
that?
Just too out of time.
Oh, yeah?
It's too much. I don't think we could pull it off.
Why is that?
Or at least it would need a lot of rehearsal.
Yeah.
That opening lick is something. But I have a friend. He calls it the essence of rock and roll. He even got a Black Dog tattoo.
Oh, wow.
We both love this song. Check it out. It's on my workout playlist. It should be on your workout playlist. Get it done. Dom, you have any thoughts? You've heard the song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It's a good song.
I prefer Stairway to Heaven. It's you a good look. It's a good look, though. It's a good look.
Stairway to Heaven just doesn't...
I want something to pump me up, I'd listen to that. If I want something to just, you know, relax and then just, like, you know, soothe in something, I'd listen to Stairway to Heaven.
I mean, that's fair. There's some good stuff. But, okay, that's the song of the week. Hit me up with whatever song of the week you want to talk about, and we'll get it on here. And now, it's time for the late, the great, Natalie Heffron to talk about women's basketball.
We are back for the women's basketball segment with Natalie Heffron, for the state sports editor. Natalie, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
We got...
Hello. Hello. I'm a quaint British old lady. Hello.
We have two games to break down, and then one to basically just look forward to on the doubleheader this Saturday. Do you want to start us off, Nat?
So I couldn't watch their first game against College of Charleston because it was on Flow Hoops, which is ridiculous. Because
what is Flow Hoops? Never even heard of that.
So Flow Hoops is basically just like a streaming service, right?
That's super expensive.
It's like $30 a month.
Whoa!
Or $210 a year.
That's no Disney Plus.
No, it's not.
I got Disney Plus. Did you guys?
No.
My family got it, so I was watching. I watched the first episode of The Mandalorian.
Oh my
god! Good show. Good show. I'd recommend.
Anyway.
Back to
College of Charleston.
WBB.
So I like would keep checking back on the stats page, like constantly refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first quarter was a little rough, and then by halftime we were leading by 3, and then they ended up winning that game by 11. And then our favorite point guard, Nicole Cardano-Hillary, had 24 points and 5 steals. And then Tamia Lawhorn, who's a freshman, had 16 points and 8 rebounds. So all around, pretty terrific game, which made me really excited for the Virginia Tech game that took place last Sunday.
Yeah. Except we shouldn't have been super excited about the Virginia Tech game.
I think that the fact that they hung in there, I think this was possibly their toughest game on the schedule. The only one that could really compete with that is when they have to play VCU, I think possibly twice in conference play.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but they were picked 10th in the ACC, and even our head coach, Nyla Millison, said that she would be surprised if they finished that low in the ACC.
Mm-hmm. They were a good team there. Tall team.
So tall. And we are not necessarily a tall team.
Not at all. I think... Is JC our tallest player?
No, I think we have... Well, Tamia is also 6 feet tall, and JC is 6 feet tall.
We have a lot of new height to our team. We have 2 freshmen that are actually really tall, too, but they haven't gotten any playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine might be 6 feet or taller. I think Camry is 6 feet or taller. Allie's 6'2". But we definitely lost the rebounding battle, but we only had 11 turnovers.
That's
6
good.
Of them were in the first quarter.
That's pretty good. That's disciplined basketball. That's what you like to see. That's good going forward.
That's right.
The rest of the season.
Especially because they averaged more than 16 turnovers last season.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to see 11 against a really, really good team, and when 6 of them happened quite quickly.
And VT was ranked 10th in the preseason poll for the ACC, which is... It doesn't seem like it matches up well, so we'll see how that actually
pans out. For repeating what
Natalie
said.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so Nikki did not have a good game for only the second time in her career. She did not have double figures. But we made 8 threes.
That's true.
Virginia Tech made more than that.
I think 8 threes is more, in that game, is more than the men's basketball team has made all season.
Well, they made... 8 in their, the men's team made them 8 against Navy, but 4 were in 40 minutes of regulation, and then 4 were in overtime,
mm-hmm.
so
doesn't
not
really
quite
count.
Even.
Doesn't really count.
And then Tamia had 2 blocks, so
yeah.
She can jump, and then she also has a cast on her left hand, so imagine what she can do once she gets that cast off.
I think it's a broken thumb, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's amazing you can play basketball with a broken thumb.
Exactly.
That's something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
No, I would not either.
I mean, she's doing pretty well. I mean, you really
obviously.
Need one hand to block.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
So, and I talked to her and Coach this week for a feature coming out in Fourth Estate on Monday. And Coach was really excited to be able to coach her when she does not have a cast on one hand, because that... really opens up a lot of what she can do with both hands. So I think, as Coach said in her post game after the Virginia Tech game, that there aren't any moral victories, but they feel like they really won a lot of the intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. They weren't really sad, even though it was a 19-point loss.
Mm-hmm.
The press conference was pretty upbeat. So I think there's a lot to look forward to, especially because tomorrow, Saturday's game is against Detroit Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how are we looking against Detroit Mercy?
We beat them by 1 in 2016. However, this was a very different basketball team
in
2016.
That was pre-Nicole.
Yes, pre-Nicole.
Pre-Natalie Butler.
Pre-Natalie Butler. I think the team looked very, very different. The seniors are the only ones that really remember that season because they were the only ones there at the time. And then it's the second game in their three-game homestand. And then they play again next Thursday against American. American is always tough. They made the postseason, I think, possibly the NCAA tournament each of the last 2 years.
Wow. So what are you thinking against Troy Mercy? You got a score prediction?
Is it going to be a one-point game again, or do you think it's going
to
be more?
No, I think we'll win by more than 1 point.
It's good. That's all you need to do.
Haven't watched them really score, so I don't know if I can say how much offense. Should be between 65 and 70. Definitely some
wings
chance. Yeah.
Wings.
There will definitely be some we want wings chance in Green Machine. So.
For sure. But, yeah, Tamia, she reminds me, Xavier and Tamia, I think, are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both 6 foot, which is...
Wait, he's...
Big X is not a tall guy.
No, it doesn't seem like it is, but he's actually 6 foot tall, mm-hmm. which is insane.
I do not believe that.
Yeah, he's like so much taller than I am, which is... I can't believe it. He doesn't look very tall. Xavier and Tamia, both, like, their ability to take the ball to the basket is just insane to me. Like, see, I told you, 6 foot, 6 foot one.
That is not 6 feet tall.
I'd say he's 6 foot. But their ability to take the ball and drive to the basket, I think, are very, very much paralleled.
And I think we'll be seeing more of that from Tamia once, you know, she has full use of two hands.
I think they'll both be basically the leader of each basketball team going forward, I guess, next year. And
I don't think so. I think as long as Nikki is still here, she's gonna definitely lead the team, especially because, Xavier is point guard, but that's not necessarily the position he always plays because of Jamal. But Tamia plays the three or the four, so mm-hmm. I think it's a different role. But I definitely think that she has the potential to lead in scores.
Well, it's going to be an exciting weekend, nonetheless, with two back-to-back games on Saturday, and then looking ahead the rest of the week and the Cayman Island Classics. Tune in. Is the Cayman Island Classics going to be on TV at all?
No, it'll be on Flow Hoops as well. So if you want to pay the exuberant amount of money for that, you can. You can check for coverage on GK and By George. Make sure you keep your eyes out for that.
All I know is there's a chance that George Mason and Nebraska play each other in this Cayman Island Classic.
What will you do?
I will probably cheer for George Mason because so far Nebraska has lost to Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know who the first game was. They were so bad. But tonight they play...
It was an Illinois something, North... Or
something
North
like that.
Something.
Tonight they play South Dakota State, who's, I think, a decent team. And they'll probably lose. So, probably root for George Mason because we'll probably beat him, which would be kind of weird, but kind of interesting. But, so looking ahead to a good weekend.
Keep your eyes out for a good weekend ahead of us. Again, keep an eye out for GK and By George content and Fourth Estate content coming on Monday featuring Tamia and XJ. Those are going to be two good articles. I'm not just saying that because Nat and I both wrote them. But, keep your eyes out, and we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Preferably probably on that Friday.
Well, no.
Why? Oh, that's right.
We'll catch you soon. Ryan and Dom cast.
See you next week.
Bam, bam.
Follow the guys on Twitter at Ryan_Salek and at Dominic Allegra. The Ryan and Dom cast brought to you by GMU Giant Killer. Your place for all things George Mason basketball.